today is found in the book of Ezra. We left off speaking to you last week how that when they had laid the foundation of the temple, then there were some that cried, and there was some that rejoiced and shouted for joy, and that there was such a mixture they couldn't even be separated between the two. And now after they had laid the foundation of this temple, we find in the next chapter that the adversaries of Judah and of Benjamin, when they heard that the children of the captivity builded this temple, then they came unto Zerubbabel and the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek the same God that you worship ever since the days that Esarhaddon hath brought us into this place. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua, they spake unto them and said that they were no part of them, and that they could not help them to build this temple. You have no part with us, they said, and we will not have you to help us build this temple, but we will build the temple ourselves as the king Cyrus hath commanded us. We have in here then, it appears at first as if there was something kind in this offer that these people came with to the Jews, the captives that were back in Jerusalem. Their language seemed to be very kind. They wanted to help them build the temple. They probably had heard of the grant that Cyrus had given unto these people, and they desired likewise to participate in what these Jews would receive from this king. And they desired likewise to be with them. They had no intention whatsoever of worshiping God in the true way as these Jews had. They, as we know, were people that were planted in this land by the king Esarhaddon. They are called in this chapter the people of the land. They were not true Israelites. They were not even true proselytes. They were Cuthians and they were Samaritans. And their religion was a mixture of idolatry and superstition. In fact, it was worse than in the days when Christ was upon earth. As you know, when the woman of Samaria spake unto him about how they had to worship God, he said unto her, ye know not who ye worship. And so it was in these days, worse yet, these Samaritans. They had no part, no lot in the true worship of God. They just wanted to participate in the benefits of what the Jews were going to receive from this King Cyrus in building this temple. And of course, when they were told that they were not true Israelites, not true worshipers of God, and that they did not want them to help them to build, well then of course they became enemies of these Jewish people. This isn't any different, my hearers, in the times in which we live. We have likewise a church, and when people attempt to become members of the church, those that have no true religion within them, but who have other ideas about being members, those that probably are rich, they have a very wonderful position in the world, they have wisdom and understanding, and to have someone like this as a member, some churches would consider it to be fortunate to have such men. But we have to be very careful who that we let into the church. For sometimes, as it was here, these people, they attempted to mingle with the true Israelites, but it was not for their benefit, but it was for their own benefit. And so it is with many that seek to become a member of a church, a professor of religion. They enter in to become someone, And they soon begin to show what they have within them. And instead of having then a place of worship, a church of God, then we have a babble of confusion. Soon the world is led into the church. Soon these men, with their wisdom, with their understanding, with their influence, they gain so many on their side that soon you don't have a church anymore. You might just as well close the doors. This is what takes place, my hearers. This is what was going to take place in this place, in the temple to Jerusalem, if they would have let these men in. But the fathers, Zerubbabel and Jeshua, they perceived immediately what their intentions were, and they told them point blank, in plain language, that they were no true worshipers of God, and that they did not want them to help them to build this temple. And so they did not permit them to do so. But of course, as I said, they gained what? They gained their enmity. Well, it's better, which we fear a lot. We fear and dread the enmity of people more than we do the enmity and the wrath of God. But it's better to have the enmity of the people and have God's blessing than to have such creatures in the church and to find that the church is being run down in this way. This, I think, is a lesson we could take out of this, what I've been speaking about. And now, of course, we find that these enemies of the church, they began to try in every way to keep these people from building the church. The people of the land, they hindered the builders from building the church. How did they do that? Well, they had a grant, of course, from Cyrus, that they were getting wood and materials from different places, which Cyrus had given them money for to do, and they were going ahead with the building. But these enemies, they intercepted many times their building materials so that they were retarded in their building. They couldn't build the way that they wanted to. And likewise, they hired counselors, the Bible says, to go against these people, the Jews. They seem to have had influence with those that were in the court of Cyrus. They did this underhandedly. They didn't do it openly all the while that Cyrus was king. But while he was king, they did this with an idea of keeping these people from building this temple. And they were very successful in many ways, keeping the people from building, hindering them in their building. And now, these enemies of the church, these enemies that were living outside of Jerusalem, living in the places where the Jews had lived in before, they likewise were in this way struggling against God and against his word and against what he had promised unto these people. So it is, my hearers, if God has created you anew, if he has begun to rear up a temple in your heart, for when he comes into our hearts, it becomes his temple, my hearers. And what a mercy when God comes into our hearts and it becomes his temple that he begins to dwell therein. And now you will find, as it was with these Jews, that they likewise were opposed in their building. They were hated by the multitude that dwelt all around them because they didn't want them to build with them. So likewise, the devil, he raised up these people. They were his slaves. He stirred them up to prevent them from building this temple. So the devil stirs up enemies outwardly and inwardly against every soul in which God has made his temple. And they will strive to their utmost, especially the devil, by instruments to prove to these people that they are not the people of God, that they are being deceived. Oh, they will try their utmost. These thoughts, these enemies inwardly, they raise up so many voices against the work that is going on within them. Have you any of these voices within you? Has it ever been said to you? You a Christian, you think you're a man of God, you think you're one that's following Jesus? Look at your life. Look at your conversation. Inwardly, they say this to you. And oh, it's a blessing, my hearers, if we can go to God with this. But We sometimes must admit that what they say is the truth. And then we begin to believe what they say is true, and unbelief rises up, and we begin to think, well, maybe they are true. Maybe it is all wrong within. You ever come to that point? You thought it was all wrong within? Well, these people, of course, they prohibited these others from helping them to build the temple. These that oppose you, my hearers, inside and outside, you can't go along with them. And you will find that they will be bitter enemies to you and to your religion, outwardly and inwardly. So it was with these Jews. They found much opposition in building. And oh, what a mercy. It was not from the Jews that they had begun to build, but that it was from the God of heaven who had given Cyrus the commandment and said that they should go up to build. So it is from God in our souls. If he has begun to build, my hearers, it may come as it did with this temple to a standstill, but God will always revive his work. He never leaves nor forsakes the works of his hands. So these people then, they were hindered in their building. And now where they couldn't stop them completely, that we find that these enemies, they decided to write to the king, to Cyrus, not to Cyrus, but to another king that had come in Cyrus's place. This king is called Ahasuerus or Artaxerxes. The two names mean the same king according to the commentary. Cyrus, he had reigned about 5 years and he passed away. And now his son, he became king in his place. He's called Ahasuerus or Artaxerxes. This king, he was written to by these enemies of the Jews. The enemies of the Jews, they wrote to this king concerning what was going on in Jerusalem. They said, the children of the captivity, the Jews, who you sent up to Jerusalem, they are building this wicked and this bad city. They are raising the walls and building the foundation. And if this continues on, then they will become a nation of themselves. And then you won't be able to get any toll, any taxes from them. And finally, then they will have the walls built and they will be all by themselves, separated from the other nations. And now, if you will look back into the history, into the records that you have, you will find that what we write is true, that beforehand already there had been much trouble and sedition and uprisings in this city of Jerusalem. It was a very wicked and a bad city. They rebelled against the kings beforehand, but they had had mighty kings too to rule over them. But they had been likewise so rebellious and so wicked that kings had come and overpowered them, and therefore this city was destroyed as it is. But if it goes on as it's going, well then they will become that sort of a people that they were before. And you as king won't have any authority over them, and then you won't collect any taxes, and you will lose all this land that you're king over now. This was somewhat of the contents in plain language of the letter that they wrote. I can't remember it word for word, but this was the substance of the letter that they wrote to this king down in Persia. They then called the Jews a wicked and a bad people. They slandered them. They called them bad names, in other words. And now it was true. These Jewish people, they had rebelled against the kings that Nebuchadnezzar had placed over them. Several of them had stood up against him. Several of them had rebelled. And for this reason, God had delivered them into the hands of their enemies. It was God that had delivered this city because of their sins and their iniquities, which they had committed against him. It was not because the multitude of people were so wicked and so bad that these kings had destroyed them. No, it was the hand of God that went out against them. It was his judgments upon them. And therefore, these people, they wrote to this king concerning the Jewish people. And they attributed that they wouldn't pay any taxes, they wouldn't pay any toll, and the king would be deprived of what was necessary to run his country. They then made these Jewish people out as bad people. This, my hearers, is still done many times with the true Israelites, with those that worship God in truth and in spirit. They likewise are picked on, are talked about, are spoken against, and so many faults and sins are found in them that they likewise are slandered. But this is not true, my hearers. It wasn't true of the true Israelites down in this Jerusalem, because God, when he works in our hearts, he makes us honest, he makes us upright, he makes us sincere. And we are to obey the king, the president, whoever rules over us. And we want to do that which is right and just only when it comes to the commandment of God. If the commandment of the king, of the president, of the governor, of the city, mayor of the city goes against the commandment of God, then we are to obey God more than that. This is the only time that you will find the people of God rising up and being rebellious. Not in that sense that we find so many in our times rising up and being rebellious. Young and old, we find this in the times in which we live. But oh, my hearers, these people then were being slandered, were being mocked, were being ridiculed, were being made out for things that weren't true. So it is today yet. And now this letter went on to state that if this city would be built and the walls reared up as it was going, why then the king, he would lose all the authority that he had over these people, and that they would finally reign themselves. Now, this was a lie, too. If you will notice and read this chapter, they never said a word about the temple. They said that they were building the city and building the walls, and that's something they weren't doing. These enemies, they had an eye against the temple. That's what they were aiming at. They weren't building the walls. They weren't building the city. You read in Nehemiah that still the city lay in ruins, that the walls were all lying down, and that the gates were all burned with fire, just like the Chaldeans had left it. But they were aiming at stopping these people from being religious, going back to the worship of God. And they didn't want them to build this temple. They were trying in every way to prohibit this. And therefore, they wrote to the king lies, deceit. It wasn't true what they wrote to him. And of course, what they wrote about this being rebellious and being seditious, it was true that they had been so when these kings who Nebuchadnezzar had placed over them had reigned there. This king then, when he received this letter, he read the letter, and then he began to do as they had asked him. He searched into the records, and he found that what they had wrote was true, that there had been great kings over this city, mighty kings. Yes, there was. God had placed them. David had been king. Solomon had been a king. They had been kings sent by God, and they had ruled. They had reigned. They had been rich, they had been powerful, they had triumphed over many other nations. This king read this in this record, but he also read about these other kings, how that they had reigned and rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and how Nebuchadnezzar had come and how he had destroyed the city. So he sent word back to these enemies of the church that he had received their letter, and he had read it, and he had made search amongst the records, and he had found it to be so, just as they had wrote about them being rebellious. And this is what these enemies wanted. Oh, this is what they were aiming at. And when they received the reply back, we find that they immediately went down to Jerusalem, And they showed them the copy of this letter, and they told them to stop immediately. They forced them to stop, it says. With force and with power, they made these Jews stop building. So the temple came to a standstill in building. How long it stood this way, the commentary says about 15 years. There wasn't anything done in 15 years. But now to come back to what I was talking about last week, how that these people who were so glad to see the foundation laid and that the temple was going to be reared, you can imagine what they had now. They began to cry and to weep too. Those that had a heart for this. You know, many of those Jewish people, they were building, but they didn't have a heart to build either. And they were right ready to lay down their building materials and everything and to stop too. This is the way some of them were. Everybody wasn't that way. But there was those that had a heart to this work. And them who had been so glad and so joyful to see that the foundation had been laid, now they saw everything stop. Oh, how sad they must have felt. How they must have wept. Their joy was turned to mourning again because nothing was being done in building this temple. Oh, my hearers, has God ever granted unto you that you have been given to believe that he has begun a good work in your hearts? And have you ever found to your dismay that these enemies that I've been speaking about, the world, Satan, sin, and all so many other outward enemies, and inward enemies had prevailed over you? They seemed to have got the upper hand. And then this life, this wonderful life of God, it seemed that it came to a standstill. You didn't know what to make of yourself anymore. You didn't know what to believe of yourself anymore. It seemed to be all God. Oh, and then you begin to think, oh, maybe it's wrong. Maybe I deceived myself. Maybe I may better make an open profession and tell everybody it's wrong. Don't believe anything that I ever told you because it wasn't true. This is the way an honest child of God would like to deal with those with whom they have been in contact with and with whom they have spoken about the things of God. They don't want to deceive themselves and they don't want to deceive anybody else. They have been made truth before God. And now when it dies away and everything seems to be gone, they don't seem to have anything left within. Oh, then it is at a standstill. I said this lasted about 15 years. I don't know how long it has lasted with some of you that are listening to me. It lasts sometimes a long time. Sometimes it lasts until they get on their deathbed. They've been in such a cold and such a dark and such a dead state for years and years, nothing from God in their souls, never experienced any meeting with God. And then it seems that God comes. The last few hours of their life sometimes, he rises up and he revives the work in their hearts, and he sets sometimes such souls into liberty, into joy, into peace of believing. Oh, what a mercy when this takes place, my hearers, before we pass out of this world. It's a mercy if it happens much quicker. It's a mercy if we have a meeting with God in this state when we are so still and so restless and we have nothing going on within us that is from heaven. This work came to a standstill for 15 years. Oh, my hearers. Sometimes we sing too, the years departed long. I held communion with my heart. At night recall my song. You got to go back so many years when that took place. And now hardly anything ever takes place. So it was with these people. Now these Jews, as I said, some of them, they were only too glad that it came to a halt. They didn't have too much of a heart for the work. Others, of course, they mourned. They were filled with sorrow. And so, my hearers, these Jews, had they remembered what Cyrus had said and what he had written had they retained a copy of that command that that house had to be built, because he had from God that this house had to be built, they would have been in a better state. They would have had something to show. This teaches us too, when we have something going on in our life, even providentially, it's good to retain papers that have been written at that time, so that if anything does come up about it, we can present it again. These Jews forgot this. They didn't have any paper from Cyrus. They had to go back to the original after a while. Had they had this paper, had they been likewise very conscious and sent back to this king word concerning what Cyrus had commanded, and asked him to search in the records for these things, then the commentary felt that they would sure reverse the commandment that the king had given to stop them people from building. But they didn't do this, these Jews. So therefore, it was brought to a halt. But now God, who had given the command that this temple had to be built, it had to be built, and the glory of this second temple was to be greater than the first. Why? We find that. So that God sent two powerful ministers, two prophets. He sent them unto these people. These people, they weren't building anymore. They said in themselves, it's not time for us to build the house of the Lord anymore. Read it in the first chapter of Haggai. Haggai was one of the prophets and Zechariah the other. And these people, what were they doing? They were building their own homes, and they were making ceilings in their homes. Probably they never had them before. And we read that they were more concerned about their own homes than the sealed houses that they had. And now God came to visit these people. You read this chapter and you find that God visited them with a judgment. That they planted and they sowed, but God withheld the increase. God visited them with a judgment that nothing would grow. He said to them, you planted and you reaped and you only gained a little. And this was true. And now then God came by the mouth of his prophet, Haggai, and he spake unto the people and said unto them, is it not time to build this house? Ye build your sealed houses. Arise, go up to the mountain and bring down wood and build this house, and I will be with you, and I will prosper you in the building of it. The word of Haggai was brought unto these people. It was the word of God, and this word was accompanied with the Spirit of God. It went into the heart of Zerubbabel and unto Jeshua. These men, oh, they had a heart to build, but they were restrained. And immediately when the prophets began to prophesy, why then they immediately arose. They received the word, not as the word of the prophet, but as the word of God. God stirred up the spirits of Zerubbabel and of Jeshua and of the people and of the fathers. They spake to them that they should build this house. And then they went ahead and they began to build this house again, the house of God to Jerusalem. But then we find that these enemies, they were different ones. They came now. And they asked them, who commanded you to build this house? They asked them for their names. They wanted to write it down. But these Samaritans weren't as bad as the first enemies. They were more truthful in what they wrote back to the king likewise. And now these men that were building, they said, we are the servants of the God of heaven and of earth. This is what they called themselves when they asked them what their names were. Oh, my hearers, what faith they had. They were the servants of God. They were building the house for God. And they had such strong faith that this is what they said, that they were the servants of God. Have you ever had such faith, my hearers, that you could claim yourself to be, even if it were, a child of God, let alone a servant of God? They were servants, especially Zerubbabel and Jeshua. They were the leaders. They were the fathers of these people. The one was the governor and the other one was the priest. And therefore, they, likewise, with the people, were inspired again by God himself to begin to build. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. When in a languishing state, when everything seems to be dormant, when everything seems to be gone, when we are so attached to the things of this life and of this world, and we are so carried away with it, as many times it has happened in our lives, then when God sends a minister, and it's a mercy, my hearers, to have a God-sent minister, believe me, one that God sends, one that God will use, one whose word God will apply. This is what he did with Haggai's word. Oh, then when this word comes from heaven into our hearts, then we are given to revive, we are given to arise. The work that God had begun again begins to be alive. Everything seems to go into heaven above. Prayer, thoughts, supplications, coming to the house of God and listening to his word. These things all become life again, where they have been so dormant and so lifeless for such a long time. Oh, these people, they felt the Spirit of God wakening them up to go back and build this temple. So God's people likewise find his spirit stirring them up. And now these men, they were building. And when these enemies came and asked them who commanded them to build it, and they said that they were the servants of the living God of heaven and of earth, they then would not stop building. And they carried on the work until the matter was brought to Darius, who was a king in the place of Ahasuerus or Artaxerxes. What these people did proves that it was of God. Oh, my hearers, if it's of God, then you likewise, if the Spirit is active in your heart, then no matter what comes up against us, you will trust in God. For it says the eye of God was upon these people that were building. And you know, when the eye of God is upon us, then he usually gives us an eye back to look at him. Oh, have you ever been so close to feel that the eye of God has been upon you, that you are under his immediate eye? And when this takes place, then you have an eye too to see something of this God, of his majesty, and that he likewise is taking notice of you. And you have in your heart at this time such a feeling for this God. Oh, you love this God. There are times when you are brought to that position that you would give everything, no matter what it would cost, if only to be able to say, he is my God. This feeling you have in your heart when the Spirit stirs you up. So these people were stirred up to commence to build again. So God stirs up the hearts of his dear children, and they become filled with heavenly fire. Oh, then they realize they are in his immediate presence under his eye, and he likewise will help them and will strengthen them against all their enemies. Oh, if we are in the work of God, my hearers, we have God as our protector. We have a special providence over us, and God most certainly will protect those who are laboring in his kingdom. So these people, they were protected by God until word was sent down unto Darius. This letter which these Samaritans sent was of a different content than the other letter, because they questioned them who had given them command to build, and they explained to these Samaritans what had taken place with them as a nation. How that God had given them this wonderful city, this land of Canaan, and how that their fathers had corrupted themselves, and they had sinned so tremendously against God that God brought his judgments upon them, and that Nebuchadnezzar came into the city and destroyed it, everything that was in it, and had carried them away captive. And now, after 70 years of captivity, God had commanded by the mouth of Cyrus that this temple should be built. And if this king would search in his records, then he would find that what they said was true. This is what they spake to the Samaritans, and the Samaritans wrote this down. They wrote this down and sent it to Darius. And Darius, when he received this letter and he read the contents of it, he made a decree that search should be made for the records that these Jews said had been written by Cyrus. I said to you last week that Cyrus not only proclaimed it with his mouth, but he also had it written, which was a blessing for these Jewish people. But now he made a search for the records in the city of Babylon where Cyrus was when he made this commandment. And he wrote this commandment, and they couldn't find it. It was not to be found in Babylon. According to the commentary, some of the enemies of the Jews, they had taken this roll that Cyrus had written, and they had hid it. They didn't dare destroy it, but they took it and they hid it in another place. And now this Darius, he insisted that search should be made through all the places throughout his kingdom for these rolls and see if there was such a record. Sure enough, in the city of the Medes, Achaemenia, there was found in the castle, in the treasure house, this record that Cyrus had written concerning the building of this temple to Jerusalem. And it was word for word, just like the Jews had said. And when Darius read this letter, he immediately was inspired by God himself. Read what he did. Or he sent a decree back to these enemies of the church. And he wrote to them that instead of trying to stop these people from building, they should immediately help them. They should give them all kinds of materials and whatever they needed to build this temple. And that they should likewise give them lambs and offerings and sacrifices, and that they should offer up prayer for him and for his sons, so that the God of heaven would bless them. How different this king was than the other king. The other king forced them to stop from building. But this king, when he read this, he was so convinced that there was a God in heaven and that God had commanded this house to be built and that that was the place he had to be worshipped. Therefore, he sent this decree. And then he wrote in his decree that if there were any that would stop these people from building, then wherever they lived, the timber was to be taken down from their houses and they were to be hanged on that. And their house was to be made a desolation. This is the decree of Darius the king. Oh, how fortunate these Jewish people were. In this respect, how wonderful did God take care of his temple to be built again, so that in due time, as the prophets Haggai and Zechariah prophesied, that the Messiah would enter into this temple, so that the time was coming when he would be there, and that he likewise would fill that place with his glory. My time is fast gone, my hearers. The Lord bless my feeble history today. I would call it history. This is what it is to me, but I hope that God may give, that it may have been for a comfort to some of you. That's all for today.